The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
Well, it is draft day. It is finally here, Dave. We have arrived. We are safe and sound. We got the man who's got the plan sitting right next to us. He's going to unveil everything for us. Right now, we've had so much fun talking to him each and every week. He is the one, the only John Schneider, President of Football Operations and General Manager of your Seattle Seahawks. How are you, man? How are you feeling?
I feel good. Yeah.
Good.
You look relaxed. You look rested.
Yeah.
Well rested. Yeah, last week was not so much. Yeah.
No, did you?
I told you. I was thinking of you guys right away. I got up. I'm like, why am I awake?
It's our fault.
Those guys did it to me.
We apologize.
Yeah. No, all good.
Did you sleep last night?
Great,
do you feel like all my ducks are in a row? All my plans are in place.
Yeah, everything's just totally buttoned up. We're ready to go. We got the whole jet. as much as we can. And, you know, got up this morning, went to Mass with my brother and my sister and prayed on it. My sister, my wife. My sister's not here.
Oh.
My brother is here. Bill and Tracy, and they dropped me off, and I've literally been on the phone ever since, just kind of like getting caught up. Because to your point last week, you don't really know, like, necessarily how serious people are, like, week, 2 weeks out. And so, like, okay, now even you're this much closer today, it's like, okay, they are serious about moving or they're not. And, you know, trying to find those safe landing zones, if you will, if things kind of go a certain way.
You know that there's going to be surprises today,
oh, yeah.
right?
Yep.
So
yeah.
when you start thinking about the day, how many different scenarios are there, or do you just have to, in that moment, react and just go to this, that? Are you confident about that part of it?
Well, this one is, you can try to plan more for this one with scenarios. You know, I was sitting with Mike last night and, you know, going through it the first time with him. And it was pretty cool. He's like, yeah, it's actually like game prep, right? You know, you're like, if this happens, then we go here. If that happens, we go here.
Yeah.
If we can't go here, we go there. That's the put that, you know, you're going through all these different scenarios, and how far back do you go, or, you know, or how far up do you go? Sorry, I didn't mean to say back. No, anyway, neither here nor there. But yeah, just playing out those different scenarios. Now, when it gets to, you know, really the last, you know, the third round, fourth round, the rest of the way, it is reactionary. You're like, okay,
yeah.
Now you got to really think on your feet, because it's way too many scenarios to go through.
Right. Have you ever had a situation where it went completely haywire in front of you to a point where you were sitting there going, well, now what do we do?
Yeah.
Like it just went so opposite of anything you anticipated.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally.
So,
yeah, no, honestly, it happens. It happened to us. Now it's like by round, right? Sorry. By
GMs
round.
GMs are bugging him right now.
Yeah.
You got to take that call.
I do, actually.
No. Make sure we get Dave on the horn.
No,
here. He can negotiate.
No. It's just by round. And so last year we were literally like, okay, we would have had to go a round down. We were ready to pick, but we would have had to go a round down. And, Willie was able to, like, we were literally on the clock, and Willie was able to work something out with Denver. So we traded with Denver, but we were like, okay, we're forcing the guy here, to your point. Like,
yeah.
You know, we're pushing this guy. We know we're pushing him around. So thank God we didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Are there GMs that you don't really, I mean, you probably know, you obviously know who is the GM, but like, are there guys that you don't really know that well that, you know, will call you, and it's kind of a new thing, right?
I
mean, you know John Lynch, right?
Right.
Assuming Howie Roseman, guys like that.
Right.
But there are guys that, you know, every once in a while you'll get a call from and like, oh, this is the first time we've spoken.
Yeah, not necessarily the first time we've spoken, but, you know, on this playing field, you know, where you're kind of like, all right, well, what are we just talking about the weather, or are we talking about the game last night, or what do we want to talk about the trade stuff? You know, like, are we going to get going on that, or are we going to,
you know,
just everybody has like different ways of doing it. Some guys are much more clear when they just text you, you know, and then, you know, you can get on text and then, you know, kind of finish things up a little later. So, yeah, it's it's just newer people, you know, and with that, even if I don't necessarily know the general manager, just somebody in the building that I know has a, you know, direct line to the general manager or whoever's making the picks.
Yeah. How different if at all, was it going into this draft without Pete? You guys have been this team for 14 years.
I've thought about it several times a day. It's wild. It was a place of time, and Pete enjoyed the hell out of it, and it was fun. He made the process very, very fun. We haven't had quite as many deep dives as he called them. Let's go do another deep dive. You know, like
come on,
like,
Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. We've watched the Ohio State Michigan game 740 times now. You know, no, but like the activity, the brain, all that. You know, I was thinking about it this morning, but I'd be on the phone, like talking to an agent or another team or something. He just come right in, pop right in there, like what's his name from Seinfeld? You know, just come busting right, get Kramer, just come busting right through the door. Hey, who are you talking to? I'm like, hey.
None of your business.
It's just been. I think the coaching staff's done a phenomenal job because they've been putting their processes in, and then also spending time interviewing the players. So you can tell. The teachers, the level of teachers that we have here with the Zoom calls and the different philosophies, different ideas, different ways of teaching, and then the job they did with their evaluations, and then spending the time that we did in the draft room together last weekend was phenomenal, working with those guys and getting to know them, and then those guys understanding as well, like what our board looks like, how it works, the philosophy of it, and what everything entails with the acquisition on the draft weekend.
Have you ever had a situation where you get a big disagreement between coaches, and I'm sure you have meetings about how you want to collaborate, but you've got your scouts,
oh, yeah,
and then you got your coaches, and they're going to have sure. different opinions, right?
Yeah.
That occurs
yeah.
every once in a while?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a system that we work through with it. It's like, all right, well, you see in here, this is the way we see it. Now we're going to sit down and, do some more studies, sit down and Mike and I'll go through it, or coordinators and, the, Trent and Nolan and Matt and Aaron and those guys, we'll all just study it again. So we're studying some stuff, yesterday afternoon. It was like, all right, that was later on draft, later draft stuff, yeah. But stuff we need to get buttoned up and cause you want to have the buy-in, you want to have. You want to have everybody on board and ready to roll. So, it's just a communication piece. It's listening and it's understanding. Trying to put yourself. It's like a negotiation, right? You're trying to put yourself in the other person's shoes, and the worst thing you can do is draft a player. It's happened in the past. We drafted a player or two that we didn't, and I should have known better. They didn't really have the position coach's buy-in, mm-hmm. and then they're just not going to coach the players hard.
It seems like the conversation around this draft is, all right, this is John's first solo mission, even though it's not yeah. solo. Obviously, yeah. everybody's involved, but there's a different focus on you now. Like, all right, who's got more pressure, John or McDonald? And it seems like most people point to you because okay. your first solo ride, if you will, without Pete, who was such a big presence. Do you feel that at all? Do you get any sense of, okay, I got to make this count to show what I do here?
I don't. We've been doing it for 15 years, and like I've said over and over again, Pete was phenomenal about turning it over. And in those 14 drafts that we did together, there was probably maybe 8 times where he was like, well, I don't, while we were going, I was like, I don't see it like that at all, and I kind of agree with this. And it's like, all right, well, if that's the case, then we're not going to do that. We're not going to head that way. So. I don't really. And Mike's a really clear, concise communicator. I think you guys will find that the more time you spend with him.
Do you think teams overreact and sort of panic when it comes to quarterbacks a little bit? I mean, that seems to be kind of a wild card because people are going to draft, maybe panic that, hey, it's not a good class next year or the year after that. You see that?
Yeah, it's important to study the class next year, right? So yeah. Everybody's been doing that. I'm sure every club's evaluated that as well and what that looks like, and you could try to do it, but you don't necessarily know because we spend so much time with these guys throughout the evaluation process. But by the time you get there, you don't we think we have all these guys figured out, but really we still don't when they come in the door. Like, we're still evaluating them, we're still going to be figuring them out, we're going to still be figuring out how Mo can help them and Soup and the trainers and the coaches and how they learn. We're still going to be learning these guys. So when you get into especially quarterbacks, do people push them? Yeah, absolutely, because it's the premium position. And, you know, we've found, too, that, and obviously you've noticed it since we've been here, and not and only picking two quarterbacks, is when you do move a lot or you give up a lot to go get somebody, it's a double whammy when it doesn't work out. You know, it's like it really sets the organization back. So you have to be really clear with it. But you also can't, if you have a guy, you can't be too, like, what we call it, like, cute or whatever, and trying to move around because the player should be picked in this area or that area, you know, because of what? Like, because ESPN says they should or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, if you like the player, it's your board, it's your organization, go for it.
One of the things we were talking about this past week is looking at the 2021 draft. Of the first five quarterbacks taken, four have been traded.
Wow.
When you look at it now, do you go, man, I thought this guy was going to be a star, this guy, or do you feel like, I kind of saw that then?
Receiver class, too, right? That was a good receiver class, right? That was Chase and those guys as well.
Yeah. So Trevor Lawrence is the only one.
Guys to this year's, like, that's kind of how people are.
Well, I'm just curious, as you get removed from remove yourself a couple years down the road and you look at it going, yeah, that makes sense, or, wow, I'm really surprised that's how that turned out.
It's a combination. Like, what was the situation? What you know, what kind of offense were they put in? What organization did they go to? You know, where was the guy? Was too much pressure put on the guy? Could they wait? You know, it's always like, you know, can the guy sit and learn? We just, you know, we're in this world of, like, instant gratification, and you know, these guys have to be put out there, and, you know, you draft a guy, you better put him out there and he better perform. Well, you know, I get back to the NFL Europe days. I mean, those guys were, you know, several of those guys were winning Super Bowls. Like, they need time to play. They need the reps, and they need pro reps. So, you know, the Brad Johnsons and Kurt Warner and Mark Bulgers and, you know, JT O'Sullivan and all those guys, like Jeff Garcia, those guys got to, you know, they got, I'm missing guys, but they got to go play the game, and these guys need that too. Now, in this draft, you know, Bo Nix, Penix, Daniels, you know, there's guys that have played a lot of football.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so I remember
a really long-winded answer.
No,
jeez,
that was all good.
Rambling man here.
This is
today.
The John
Rambling
Schneider
man.
Show. You talk as much as you want to.
Don't use up all your words now. Okay. What about you have a notebook that you would, you know, write in every, like, a diary, basically.
Yep.
You're still doing that.
Yes.
On a day like this, do you go back and look through, or do you already know?
I was talking to Mike about it last night. Like, what it looks like where, you know, okay. The middle of the second round is going to be a lonely, lonely time, especially if we don't pick up a second pick, right? Like, that's going to be, and how the board, it just disappears in front of you. You're kind of like, everyone is just like a, you know, bang, bang. You spend so much time evaluating these guys and the scouts, like everything that goes into it, all the investment, the money that goes into it, the man hours that are put into this. And our people do such an amazing job. I love our staff so much. And so to see those guys leave, it's like, okay, well, that was great. I spent 15 days in Tallahassee trying to get that guy figured out. And he just left. So and the way they disappear is kind of like, all right. Comes off and it hurts.
Just like a body blow each time. Like, oh, he's gone.
Yeah, it really is. But getting back to, like, reading and be like, all right, cool. Things settled down in the third round. They started going our way in the fourth round. You know, we were able to kind of move around, and we were able to manipulate the board better this year because we had this amount of numbers and a certain round and that sort of thing. Yeah.
I'm guessing when you hired Coach McDonald, you knew his philosophy, the kind of players he likes, but I'm wondering how much more you learned just figuring out differences between how you evaluate players, how much you guys have in common as you've gone through this process.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's ongoing. We're continuing to do it. We're still learning each other. We're still, figuring out, you know, what it looks like. But I would say he has this, like, rule, like, he knows exactly what he wants, but it's also, he's a very, like, I don't want to say pliable, if pliable is the right way, but he can adjust, and he can literally, like, he gets it. He's a good listener, but he knows exactly what he wants.
You know, it's funny. Everybody's concentrating on the first round guys, pretty much first and second. But and where you build your roster and where you kind of make your hay is in the late rounds, right? I mean, you've had some, KJ in the fourth, I think it was Cam. We were going through it yesterday, and Why do you think you have been so successful with some of those late round picks? Is it sticking to your process, or
I think the guys, the scouts, the studying, and then the buy in from the coaches and the development. Are you going to spend the time to develop the players? If everybody buys in, if the area scout has conviction and has been through the process with the individual, and then the coach, then we all vet it together, and then. Then the coaches come in, and then if you have the conviction of the coaches, you know, at a certain spot, everybody's just kind of all in. Everybody wants to take care of that player and have that player develop. And, you know, again, they need the reps. They need the opportunities. And so, you know, I tell the guys all the time, like especially the local visit we have, it's like, yeah, the first round is Thursday night. It's like this big entertainment thing. It's awesome. Get it. Congratulations. You got drafted in the first round. That's awesome. Then you got Friday night, round two, round three. And then Saturday, to your point, Dave, is really like when, like, that's when you make your hay. And, you know, that's like the blood and guts of it. It's like awesome. Like finishing the draft, you know, adjusting the board for rookie free agency, which is like a whole nother draft in itself. That's like incredibly sped up. And then, like, on Sunday, they make people, you know, the guys like yourself make fun of guys like me. You know, give us, like,
we would never.
F's and D's and all that, whatever, we would that kind never. Of stuff. And then, but I tell the guys, I'm like, yeah, and then Monday they're talking about next year's class already. So you guys need to flip your mind to get ready to be competing with grown men because, like, in our case, these guys have been here working for 3 weeks. They're 3 weeks ahead of you. And they're going to be relying on you guys to, you know, lift their competitive level up as well. So they go through this process of like enjoying like, okay, cool. Like how am I getting acquired? I got drafted, which must be an amazing thing. But then also like, okay, I got to flip my mind to get back into football mode, not like 40 mode or short shuttle mode or interview mode. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it happens really quick for them.
Yeah.
You know, it takes longer for some of these guys. I mean, they're 21 years old. Like I don't know how I would have handled that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I would have handled an $8 million signing bonus at 21 years old.
Yeah. How would you handle it, Dave?
Yeah, how would it go?
Yeah, well, I'll let you know when I make that money.
The thing we always hear about this league, it's a copycat league.
Yeah.
Copycat league. Does that apply to the draft, do you think? Because and I'm thinking specifically of somebody like Brock Purdy or even Russell Wilson, somebody who's looked at as undersized or they don't have the cannon arm and they're taking late, third round, seventh round for Purdy, obviously, last pick in the draft. Do you think that shifts the way clubs, GMs might approach drafting a quarterback going, well, they did it. We could do that too.
Great question. I think it's cyclical, you know. I mean, I think it goes in waves. Right now, running backs, you know, it's kind of like, oh, you can get a running back. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. You know, we've taken running backs in the second round 2 years in a row because we had those guys just rated so high. They were just like, oh, we've got good players, you know. But, yeah, I think, you know, then – other teams, you know, compare to your point, they compare the Brock Purdy's or, you know, well, that was, you know, this guy kind of reminds me of Brock Purdy. Okay, well, if he reminds you of Brock Purdy, then don't draft him in the seventh round. Like, yes, you might want to take him in the second if that's the case, you know, like, God helps those who can't help themselves. I mean, sometimes we stumble into stuff, you know, so, but people can say that, right? Well, you can get a guy later, you know, or this, but then, you know, you just have to have conviction for the player. But to your point, the copycat part of it with the draft is really kind of like it goes in waves. Like, okay, like we'll probably see in a couple more years, you know, the importance of the running back coming back in because people aren't tackling anymore and, you know, like the tackling's falling off. And okay, so these guys are going to stand out more. We need more runners and maybe we get away from playing 7-on-7 and, you know, more hard, like old school football.
I remember when you drafted Richard Sherman, I had a buddy from Stanford, and I was like, what's he doing drafting Richard Sherman? Yeah, I mean, that was such a great get. I mean, I thought he was the best tackling corner in NFL history. I mean, he would hit you, man.
It was full buy-in from everybody.
Yeah.
You know, the our West Coast scout I'm trying to remember who it was at the time. I apologize, but like West Coast to the area, to the over the top guy, to the coordinator, to the position coach, to the head coach. So everybody had this buy-in. It was like, you know, this guy's gonna be a player, and he felt that confidence. Obviously, he had it already, you know. And then he just had that incredible swag about him,
yeah.
And that just rubbed off on, you know, the whole rest of the team. Really, I mean, that that everything he exuded, but that's so fun to talk about. I could talk about that sort of stuff all day. I love those stories, you know, like, well, such a big get for us, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've had so many of them, though. I mean, like we talked about, even free agent. I mean, Doug Baldwin is a free agent.
Doug Baldwin's one of the most underrated receivers in NFL history, man.
Well, he's one of the greatest in the history of this organization. Yeah, and he's a free agent. And Sherm, a fifth-rounder. Tariq Woolen, a fifth-rounder.
Yeah.
Cam,
Stanford
KJ.
Guys.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
No, but you're right, Cam, KJ. I mean,
just late-round picks. That, yeah. And you look at these guys as all-time Seahawk greats.
Yep, and I would say it's the buy-in from, like, the staff to, like, everybody's bought in. Everybody's like, okay.
What does that mean?
Buy-in from the coaching staff with the scouts. Like, okay, cool. I really like this guy.
We're going to trust your evaluation.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, well, you trust evaluation. And you know what? Like, I really liked my interview with him. Like, this is going to be great. I can work with this guy. Let's go. I can't wait to coach him. And so that's, you know, we're learning the staff right now. We're okay. Do you like the guy or do you like the guy? You can love your pets. You just can't love your pets, you know? That's kind of like, that's a Robin Williams. That's from a movie. I forget. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was my movie line for the day.
Oh, you got it. Any rituals on this day that are tried and true? Every year you have, remember last year you had the gas station attendant?
We have the gas station shirts for the third day because that's like our ultimate work day. That's like the greasy, grimy, get busy day. We hand those out. We just handed 3 new ones out upstairs to our interns and stuff. So
okay,
yeah.
So anything other than that, I know you went to mass. Your brother's here.
Yeah, just you know, praying on it, and then getting everybody together, and just have some alone time before it starts. Had some alone time last night, and then just ready. It's a big process of it. It's so wild that, like, you know, we're doing this like today. I'm thinking like, okay, that's here already. Let's go. But I mean, now it's like you're sitting here thinking about all the time that went into it and what everybody's done. And I'm just so proud of everybody and so thankful, so grateful to everybody in the whole building.
Well, and the other thing to me that's fascinating is that there's some kid sitting somewhere and you're about to determine his life, basically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the Seahawks hadn't picked me, I wouldn't have met Shannon. I wouldn't have, you know, my whole life because of that.
That's what Tracy was talking about after Mass today. She was like, you know, it was just like, I was just praying about, like, all these families that, like everybody in the National Football League is going to be affecting tonight and, you know, throughout the weekend. I mean, it's just like, how does that, like think about that. Isn't that overwhelming? I'm like, oh, it's not overwhelming at all, babe.
it's more pressure.
It's that kind of day. Yes. My back's really hurting, Trace.
There wasn't enough pressure there. Yeah. You're making breaking lives here. Perfect.
Yeah, no,
perfect.
But I just think about, like, and to think about, you know, like, how blessed we are to be doing this. And, like, I was so into it as a kid. Like the entertainment part of it now is huge. Yeah. I mean, when they're going to cities, like, they're going to the draft, they're, you know, I mean, it's amazing, and it's just a fun, it's a great weekend, I mean.
Yeah. Last one before we let you go. I'm sure the worst calls you make are conversations when you're letting somebody go.
Yeah.
Is I got to imagine up at the top is calling a draft pick saying, hey, so-and-so, we're going to pick you next year. Yeah. I mean, that, for you, has got to be.
Yeah, that's the best.
The best.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It's just like,
I mean, tears going, hearing that reaction.
Yeah, you can hear the families in the background. Yeah. And, like, you know.
What was it? Well, maybe one of your favorite. I mean, I know DK broke down. Like, what took you so long? I think it was.
KJ was whispering because he was about to go across the stage. So he's like talking real quiet like this. I was like, we're getting ready to draft you right here, man. Like, everything okay? He's like, I'm at my graduation. And he was literally like getting ready to go across the.
Oh, he's
yeah,
really?
Yeah, oh, that was an awesome one. Yeah, some guys just, like, you know, some guys are super quiet, you know, like, they don't really say much. I'm like, expecting you to be a little bit more excited. You know, like,
do you want to play here?
Know? Yeah. I mean, we didn't turn it in yet.
Like, we could change our minds.
Yes. Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, John, it's been fun talking to you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys. It's been great.
This is awesome.
Been awesome.
We wish you, obviously, the best.
I'll come on and BS with you guys sometime, like when you didn't do a baseball game again or something.
Let's do a recap of the draft.
Sure, we'll do it.